When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Enjoying this episode of the Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
It's the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Y'all know my guest tonight as a 3-time Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter with hits like Don't Start Now, Physical, and Levitating. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Dua Lipa. Nice to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me in full house.
My Isn't that goodness. Nice?
This is amazing. Nice?
Now, the last time you were on here was before COVID.
Yes.
Not that long before, but you had an extraordinary last couple of years. While crazy things were happening in the world, crazy success was happening for you. Rolling Stone called you the breakout pop star of the pandemic. Because I want to point out, this here, your album, Future Nostalgia. Now, the world basically shut down on March 12th of 2020. And this album dropped on March 27th, 2020. And then you won a Grammy for it in 2021. What was it like? That's a long wind-up to a simple question. What was it like to have this explosive success and not being able to go out into the world and enjoy it or engage? You had to kind of like see it from a distance.
Well, I think to begin with, the whole idea of putting the album out, I think, like most people, I thought, oh, the pandemic, 2 weeks.
Sure.
You know, it'll be fine. Two years later, we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
But I had worked on this album for so long, and I had just kind of been holding it. For a while, I was very passionate about it. I was very proud of it as well. It was a body of work where I finally felt like I'd found my confidence and who I was really as an artist and a songwriter. And so when everything shut down, I think there was a big part of me that just didn't want to believe it. And I also felt like with so much uncertainty and everything going on, I was like, you know what, maybe now is the time to release this album. And I'm really happy that I did because I feel like, you know, And I have this whole philosophy that up until the point that this music gets released, mm-hmm. it belongs to me. Once it's out, it no longer is mine. Mm-hmm. And so when I see it like that and the music is out there and I have it in the hopes that these songs find a home with other people, that I felt like this was like the perfect time to release it. And so people's reaction having been the way that it was just mind-blowing. It was beyond anything that I could have ever hoped for, and maybe that was actually the fate that the album was meant to have.
Well, people were glad that you did, because Levitating was the most streamed song of 2021 in the United States. And I'm just curious, I know you're a brilliant performer, but you also wrote that song. You're a songwriter at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, when you release this album, you're like, it's going to be Levitating. Like there are a bunch of bangers on there, but that's the one that one was an extraordinary success. Do you know that it's going to be that one?
Definitely not. I mean, I can never preempt, like, what song is the one that people are going to react with the best, but... Levitating was the first song that helped dictate the rest of the album. It was the one song where I was like, okay, I feel like this is exactly what Future Nostalgia is. Mm-hmm. And I had a really good, like, idea after writing Levitating of exactly what the rest of the album was going to sound like. And I think I had such an such a powerful feeling being in the studio after writing Levitating with my friends Sarah, Coffey and Coz. And I think we all felt so energized and so excited afterwards, so it was very special.
You were supposed to go on a world tour shortly after the album dropped, right? When were you supposed to go on tour?
I was meant to go on tour of April 2020.
And you probably assumed, oh, it's going to happen. Because we'll take a little break here. It'll be nice.
Well, we postponed it for a little bit.
A little bit.
And okay, then a little bit more.
So it's 2 years later. You're about to launch the world tour right now.
Yeah.
23 countries, something like that?
Yes.
Okay. So much planning goes into a world tour. Mm-hmm. It's like an invasion. What... How is it going to be different now, you know, in 2022 than what you planned in 2020? How is the time difference, the COVID having happened? What's that going to change the tour for you?
Well, it's actually massively different. Initially, when I was meant to go on tour, it was only meant to be a month after the album was out. Mm-hmm. So I guess it just kind of... I'm hoping that all the fans would just really quickly learn all the lyrics and come and watch me. But this time, I've done a lot of audience research, and so I feel like I know what songs people like. And the Future Nostalgia Tour really is the Future Nostalgia Tour because it's predominantly songs from that album, whereas I think before it would have been bits here and there and lots from my first album, and now it's like the perfect combination, the very best of.
We have to take a break, but stick around. When we come back, I will ask Dua Lipa about her collaboration with Sir Elton John.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
You did something that I'm fairly jealous of. You actually released a song with none other than Sir Elton John. And I'm curious... He is one of the greatest. How did this come about? I heard this was his idea.
Yes, it was... It was Elton's idea, and I still, every time I say it, I think it's the craziest thing in the world because I can't believe I have a song.
Here's the song. It's called Cold Heart.
Yes.
There you go.
And, well, it was kind of funny, actually. Now, Elton and I, we've done a couple things together. I also performed with him for his AIDS Foundation for the Oscars opening. And... afterwards, we had dinner in LA, and then literally a couple of days later, I've started writing for my new album, and I was hanging out by the pool before going to do some writing, and all of a sudden, my phone rings, and it's a FaceTime from Elton and his husband David.
As you do. Yeah.
I mean, it's not that casual. I don't think it's casual. I was in my bikini and a cowboy hat. It just didn't. It wasn't really quite. Yeah. But it was. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. It was perfect. And they were just like, you know, we have this idea. We'd love to have you on this song. And, you know, and immediately I was like, are you joking? I was like, of course, you know, I'd love to do it. No, you listen to it first and you then decide. I was like, well, you know my answer. No, you go listen to it. We're going to send it to you. And then afterwards, you let us know if you want to do the song. And I, knowing already what I was going to say, I'm like, absolutely. So I heard the song, and it was a remix that Pnau Pnau did of Rocket Man and Sacrifice. And immediately, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And it's kind of crazy because I feel like I manifested this in a way.
You drew him into your life by reading The Secret?
Yes. No, Rocket Man is my driving song. It's my shower song. It's my song that I sing along to myself.
Really?
Yes.
You can relate to it.
Yes. I like to sing along to it. Stop. I like to sing along to it. I think I love
too.
The song.
I do too. Yeah.
And so, when I got asked to sing that part, I was like, okay, this is the, it was just meant to be. So.
Elton, I'm available too. I'm a huge fan. I also know the lyrics to Rocket Man. We have to take a quick break, but we're right back with more Dua Lipa, everybody. Stick around.
Hey, everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
You just launched something that you got to explain to me here. It is called Service 95. Would you call a global concierge service? Can you explain what that means? Can you, like, get me restaurant reservations and tickets to Hamilton? What is a global concierge service when you are providing it?
Okay, so I'll give you a little bit of a backstory, and then I'll tell you exactly what it is.
I hope you will.
All right, fine. So since I was really young, I've been, like, I'm really organized and a little bit crazy in that sense. And I've loved to keep lists, and I write down lists about everything, whether it's restaurant recommendations, movies I watch, books I like to read, places I like to go to, articles that I've read, anything. It can literally be anything, places to work out, hotels to stay in, no matter where I am in the world. And that kind of, I kept adding to it more when I was touring. I kept adding to it constantly of places that I saw online. I kept adding to it when talking to my friends. And my friends, no matter where they are in the world, they can just send me a text message and be like, okay, I'm here. What can I do? Where's the best shopping? And I just, like, I take it very seriously. And I go, okay, this is what you can do. This is, you know.
Sure.
And that was kind of the idea initially behind it, of like, okay, I want to share all my lists, my recommendations, thoughts, all into one newsletter. And then the idea grew more and more, where I also thought, you know, we can have lots of different thoughts, perspectives, stories, articles that are really interesting in a way that maybe you wouldn't find as easily. I also wanted to make activism accessible to people who wanted to get involved. I think there's a lot of noise going on online, and sometimes it's hard to kind of filter through exactly what you want to, you know, read about or learn about. And I want to help give people the tools to be able to learn things in maybe a different way.
Well, in that regard, you also have an upcoming podcast called
Yes.
At Your Service. It hasn't been released yet, but are you going to be interviewing people?
I'm going to be interviewing people.
I know you subbed in for my friend Jimmy Kimmel over on ABC.
Yeah.
You can sit in here anytime you
want,
by
thank
the way.
Okay, thank you.
I'm exhausted.
Thank you, thank you.
But do you like being interviewed or interviewing? Because some people really don't like being where you are, and they like the sense of control where I am. I being one of those people.
I'm really enjoying interviewing people. I really am. And I really love, like, the research element to it and learning about people.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
Putting me on the spot.
Well, you're the guest. You get to do what you want.
Okay.
If you'd rather interview, you may interview me.
Okay. All right, well, okay, let me have a thing. Just 1 second.
Keep in mind, it's CBS.
Okay, I want nothing.
There are limits. There are limits.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Pop star, back that way.
Okay.
Podcaster.
Right.
Right, very serious stuff. So,
I love your show, by the way. Amazing audience.
Thank you
for having
me. Thank you so much. Yes, give them a round of applause.
I'm such a fan. I'm such a fan. It's such, I was so nervous backstage.
I'm such a fan of yours. I'm actually really nervous.
Oh my God, it's such an honor to be here with you.
So thank you so much for being here tonight. I really appreciate it.
A little nervous.
So I think something that your viewers really connect with in your comedy and your hosting skills, especially in the past few years, is how open and honest and authentic you are about the role your faith plays in your life.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was wondering, is there any, you know, does your faith and your comedy ever overlap? And does one ever win out?
I think ultimately, us all being mortal, the faith will win out at the end. But I certainly hope when I get to heaven, Jesus has a sense of humor. But I will say this, someone was asking me earlier about what I, this relates to faith, because my faith is involved with, I'm a Christian and a Catholic, and that's always connected to the idea of love and sacrifice being somehow related and giving yourself to other people, and that death is not defeat, if you can see where I'm getting at there. Someone was asking me earlier, what movie did I really enjoy this year? And I said, well, I really like Belfast, which is Kenneth Branagh's story of his childhood. And one of the reasons I love it is that I'm Irish and Irish-American, and it's such an Irish movie, and I think this is also a Catholic thing, because it's funny and it's sad, and it's funny about being sad. In the same way, that sadness is like a little bit of an emotional death, but not a defeat if you can find a way to laugh about it. Because that laughter keeps you from having fear of it. And fear is the thing that keeps you from turning to evil devices to save you from the sadness. As Robert Hayden said, we must not be frightened or cajoled into accepting evil as our deliverance from evil. We must keep struggling to maintain our humanity, though monsters of abstraction threaten and police us. So if there's some relationship between my faith and my comedy, it's that no matter what happens, you are never defeated. You must understand and see this in the light of eternity and find some way to love and laugh with each other.
Wow. Stephen Colbert, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
CBS Sunday, after The Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so's
okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after The Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.